us, send us, send us good. I have a whole bunch of thankfulness in my heart today, and one of the thankful things I'm going to mention is about Katie just changing the batteries to this. So happy to be here. Am I in the right spot? Yeah, good. I feel like it's a little bit of a homecoming in a way, as I was telling Gracie. I have both performed music and done a sermon right down the street at Hopewell. The Hopewell Church is at Calvary Baptist, I think, yes. And as I did that sermon, I pointed across the street and said to some of the congregation, look out the window, that house across the street on the corner is where my grandmother was raised. That's where my great-grandfather lived for many years. And so it's my thinking that he's probably come to this church, my great-grandfather, in all likelihood. I'm Chip Murgott, and I live in Bucks County with my wife and our 11-year-old son. They send their greetings. My wife, Annie, has just had another surgery. She's recovering from cancer and doing very well, and sends her greetings, especially to you, Katie, and to everyone. Our son, Eli, if you have children or grandchildren or even nieces and nephews, I thoroughly recommend writing down anything they say between the ages of 3 and 5. That's the bumper crop years. Those are the bumper crop years. When Eli was 5, he was in the back seat of my PT Cruiser, and he abruptly ended the conversation with me by saying, "Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a juice box to drink." I like to be reminded at the beginning of any, this isn't exactly a sermon, it's just some thoughts I want to share, and I like to be reminded of the truth of the Bible, the truth of God's Word. There's 2,500 surviving Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, and they, let's be honest, they differ in over 100,000 different ways. If you fed them all into a computer and applied a program as to where they differ, it's over 100,000, and 99% of those differences are grammatical. There's very few that have anything to do with doctrine. There are a couple, but I like to quote Mark Twain in this context, which is one of my favorite sayings of all time. He said, "It's not the things I don't understand about the Bible that bother me. It's the things I do understand about the Bible that bother me." The basic message of the Bible is only too clear. And it's my belief that from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse in Revelation, the Bible really is about grace. Even in the Old Testament with the judgmental, angry God aspect to it at times, there are passages that are pointing to Jesus, many of them, and to his saving, atoning grace. So in the bio here, it says, and accurately, that I've been studying the topic of grace for the last 2 decades. All of us have been. All of us Christians are studying the topic of grace under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit. But my particular direction has been to study it from the point of view of how grace, amazing grace, relates to the law, the Jewish law, which is 613 precepts, by the way, not only the Ten Commandments. Paul, the Apostle Paul, as the architect of much doctrine, he wrote many books, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Titus, Timothy, I believe were both his letters. He has a lot to say about grace, and Protestants are inclined at various times, not just in history, but also in our lives, to refresh this understanding of grace, because in our own flesh, it's sometimes so hard to accept that we call it amazing grace. That's one of the reasons we're amazed by it. The Protestant Reformation, of course, was based on Martin Luther reading the book of Romans and then meditating, pondering, and praying on it and saying, this teaching that I read in Romans is not jibing up with what the Catholic Church is teaching throughout the world. And so the Protestant Reformation began. The simple, short verse that we're going to take as the main text today is Romans 8:1, if you'd like to turn to it in your pew Bible. But even if you don't, I'm only going to read a couple of brief passages today. Paul writes in this chapter, which theologians far and wide have revered over the years. I've heard it called the pinnacle of the architecture of Christian doctrine, this whole chapter. And he says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hold that thought for a minute. It's one of the more important ones that we'll read in the Bible. There is no condemnation. The children's message was so beautiful, wasn't it? And it was, do you have Jesus in your heart? If you have Jesus in your heart, and remember the great intellectual of the early part of the 20th century, Karl Barth, was receiving. I did research this topic because it sounds so perfect, this particular anecdote, that when you hear it, it sounds apocryphal. It sounds like it might be made up, but I researched it. And it's true, there are eyewitnesses to this story, that Karl Barth was receiving one of his many honorary degrees. And afterwards, there was a question and answer period. And he was asked, what's the most important thing you've ever learned in your life? And his answer was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Paul is speaking in verse 1 of chapter 8 of Romans on the topic of believers who are already believers. So when he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, that clause might disqualify some of us if we were thinking about whether we're a believer or not. And you could say, gee, I don't always walk in the Spirit. So does that mean there is condemnation if I'm not perfectly in the Spirit all the time? If you look down at verse 14 of chapter 8, Paul writes briefly, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And so we ask ourselves, Are we led by the Spirit of God? Have we accepted Jesus into our hearts, as the children were talking about? If the answer is yes, then there is no condemnation to any of us who can answer that question in the affirmative. We are no longer under the law. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes, "For if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." I wish I could get a tattoo of that. No, I'm only kidding. That's against the law too. But we need to be reminded of how amazing grace is. I had this thing I wanted to say, and I raced past it before I could say it. But we're talking about the truth of the Bible. I wanted to quote the eminent theologian, Alice Cooper. I saw his testimony recently, and he's a dyed-in-the-wool, fervent Christian believer. His favorite radio ministers are R.C. Sproul, that he's testified to, and Charles Stanley. You're going to hear a lot of Alice Cooper in the next couple of weeks because he has that hard rock song, "School's Out for Summer." So you're going to be hearing him, but know as you do that Alice Cooper, whose real name is Vincent Furnier, said, "I believe the whole Bible." He says, I believe it all. It's not fairy tales. It's not mythology. He said, if God can create the heaven and earth, he can get a fish to swallow Jonah if he wants. You know, another thought regarding the truth of the Bible. If you want to, you can turn to Galatians. I'm not going to speak much longer, but I just wanted to look at this quick passage. Again, Paul wrote a lot of doctrine, and R.C. Sproul has an interesting, speaking of him, just off the top of my head, he has an interesting take on what book of the Bible he would choose if he were isolated on a desert island. You know, as a musician, we hear this desert island discs thing. What songs would you take with you? He chooses, interestingly enough, the book of Hebrews, where Jesus is portrayed as our high priest, forever interceding for us at the Father's side. No matter what we do, he's there. If he is in your heart, if you accepted him, if you believe in him, it's not a deal where you have to constantly be concerned with that. And I'm out there kind of these days waving the banner of amazing grace and the security that believers have, even if we stumble, as I often do. You can ask my wife if I'm a sinner, and our wives or husbands might always tell us. I'll just read this introductory passage, a couple of verses, starting at Galatians 3, chapter 5. I mean, Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. This is the book that I would have on a desert island if I only had one book, and this is the chapter if I could only have one chapter. That's my take on it. Verse 5, "Therefore he who supplies the Spirit," capital S, "to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And continuing to verse 6 and 7, "Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What a stunning thought. That's another amazing grace moment. I'll finish by telling you this little anecdote from a missionary that I once met some years ago at a Baptist church, and he and his wife had gone to the jungles of Venezuela, And it took them 2 full years to learn the language of the tribe that they were staying with. The first night he was there, by the way, he was so exhausted he slept in a hammock, and the tribe all gathered around him. And I guess he slept for a couple of hours because he had been traveling. When he woke up, he said they were still standing there, just waiting for me to wake up. They were so happy to see him. And he ended up having, of course, a very close relationship. But The translation of their language was so difficult that he took 2 years. And when he finally got enough communication going, he preached the message of the Ten Commandments this one Sunday. The tribe was ecstatic and joyful, and they said, "We've been waiting to hear about what God desires from us." And they went out rejoicing. He could only fit so much in one gospel lesson. So he taught the law the first lesson, and the next week he was going to teach grace. They went out that week and, "Finally, we know how to live. We're going to keep the Ten Commandments." They came back the next Sunday. Some of them were weeping. Some of them were downtrodden. They were all unhappy. And the reason being, why? They said, "We can't keep the Ten Commandments. Okay, we tried this week, and we can't." So he said, here's the second part of the message: the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace, and it's printed in the bulletin today. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the first verse my son ever learned. He could say it when he was 2 years old. But now he says more things like, "If you'll excuse me, I have a juice box to drink." He said the other day, "Dad, I love you, but I don't know where the channel changer is." Just as I am, a quick word about it before I proceed with "It Is Well With My Soul" and invite you to sing. "Just As I Am" was written by Charlotte Elliott, in the 1800s. She came from an evangelical family. They all did many great works for God. They built houses. This is in the 1800s, "Just As I Am." She was what they used to call an invalid. She was in bed, and she wrestled with it many times in deep sorrow. "Why am I laying here?" And on one occasion, they all went, her family, to go to something to help out people and do good works. And she was left alone in bed, you know, crying inwardly that she could not take part. And she only wrote "Just As I Am" on that day. On that day. The song that's been used as an altar call around the world by Billy Graham. Millions have come forth. One time he was in Odessa, Russia. I know I'm straying from the introduction of the song just for a minute. Billy Graham had an interpreter in a Russian mission trip to Odessa. And after he gave the altar call, about 75% of the audience came forward. And he said to the interpreter, he said, "Oh, no." He said, "Please explain to them, I only want those to come forward who want to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. They must have misunderstood." So the interpreter re-explained it, and then the rest of the audience came forward. "Just As I Am" is the song they were singing. "I Love to Tell the Story" was written by Catherine Hanke. She spent a year in bed. In those days, they didn't have the medical care that we have now. In that year, she wrote in her diary, "I didn't do much of anything today." She used to have a street ministry in Liverpool, I believe, Catherine Hanke. She said, "I didn't do anything. I wrote, 'I Love to Tell the Story,' and that's all." We'll save the story behind "It Is Well With My Soul" for another time. Most of you know it. Horatio Spafford wrote it after a fire destroyed his business, and then his daughters were drowned as they moved on to the new world. We shall sing all four verses of it. And the last stanza goes, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Let's sing. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my love you have taught me to say, I'm a blues singer in a way. I once told a publisher in Nashville that, and he said, how can you be a Christian and have the blues? I don't know. How can there be a book called Lamentations? Read the Psalms, brother. There's a lot of blues in there. This is about a hero of mine who lived his beliefs throughout his life, stuck to his guns, and did not sway from the path of singing Christian blues. It's about Blind Willie Johnson. Johnson could make a guitar sing, and from the time that he was 5 years old, he was walking with the king. Born and raised in Texas, he could have sold his soul to play, but when he went down to the crossroads, he chose to go the Savior's way. Yes. Darkness of his journey, it must have comforted his mind to know that John the Revelator spoke of Jesus healing the blind. One day on a corner, he met a woman named Angeline. They'd be married more than 20 years until death would intervene. He wrote, God don't ever change, everybody ought to treat a stranger right. He wrote, you're gonna need somebody on your bond. And about the crucifixion, he wrote the song that was called, and dark was the night. On Forest Street in Beaumont, on the northern end of town, well, a fire tore up Willie's house, but it did not burn it down. It happened in the winter, not a soul would take him in, and he died from sleeping in a cold, damp bed. The mystery of sin. Could make a guitar sing, and after all these years in glory, he's still walking with the king. Do we have a key for the dog song? Gee. Praise God, praise God. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Let us pray. We praise and thank you, O Lord, grateful for your gift of grace and mindful of the communion of your saints. We offer up our prayers for all people. God of compassion, we remember before you the poor and the afflicted, the sick and the dying, prisoners and all who are lonely, the victims of war, injustice, and inhumanity, and all others who suffer from whatever their sufferings may be called. In particular, we pray for continued healing, for comfort, for Joe, Ryan, Mickey, Kathy, Betty, Sherilyn, Jackie, and for the family and former flock of Ruth Freeze Robbins, who mourn her passing, and for those who are homebound by Jean and Ruth and Don. O Lord of Providence, who holds the destiny of the nations in your hand, we pray for our country. Inspire the hearts and minds of our leaders that they, together with all our nation, may first seek your kingdom and righteousness so that order, liberty, and peace may dwell with your people. O God, the Creator, we pray for all nations and peoples. Take away the mistrust and lack of understanding that divides your creatures. Increase in us the recognition that we are all your children. Author of grace and God of love, send your Holy Spirit's blessing to your children here present. Keep our hearts and thoughts in Jesus Christ, your Son, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Do I need the sheet music for Amazing Grace? No. I might need the words, that's all. We'll sing Amazing Grace together. And I would suggest that we sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 today.
sing God's praise. And when we first begun.
Amen. I'm taking the benediction today from Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to sing a little bit of this old gospel song. And it goes like this. You can't stand up all by yourself. You can't stand up alone. You need the touch of a mighty hand. You can't stand up alone. And trouble, I have seen trouble well all around my door. Go on away and leave me, old man, trouble, 'cause I don't want your trouble anymore. Oh, you can't stand up all by yourself. You can't stand up alone. You need the touch of a mighty hand. You can't stand up alone. Well, a voice comes down just like thunder, and a light all around was shown. The voice said, Chip, stand up and grab on my hand, 'cause you can't stand up alone. Oh, you can't stand up all by yourself. You can't stand up alone. You need the touch of a mighty hand. You can't stand up alone. Last time. Oh, you can't stand up all by yourself. You can't stand up alone. You need the touch of a mighty hand. You can't stand up alone. No, you can't now. You can't stand up alone. Please listen. You can't stand up alone. You can't stand up alone. God bless you. Thank you for having me. It was a joy to be here today for me. Thank you very much.
Yes.
We can give you a hand. Maybe some of us carry you.
Oh, it's so small. Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, this is Eloise.
Hi, Eloise. I love your dress and your flower.
I can't tell you how much I
appreciate
it. Are you?
After 65 years away.
Are you going to be next door?
Maybe for a couple of hours. Yeah. But anyway, just such a treat.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming up. So, do you play anything? Any instruments? Do you want to play? Someday you want to play the guitar? Yes, I can tell you do. You're going to be a guitar player.
Thank you, sir. That was great.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Thanks. 15 minutes is not a lot of time to talk about a big concept like Grace. The big white house on the corner there. It's when you're standing in the front of the church. Yeah, I guess so. When you're standing in the front yard of the church, looking at Main Street there, it's the one on the corner to the right. It's now like...
Is it where Nomad Pizza is?
No, it's not. It's a big white house. White House,
and
yeah, and it's now divided into apartments.
Is that good?
I don't think.
Okay,
it's
right.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't
you
even
do.
Know if you've met Ellie.
But you own a building down there.
Yeah, this is Ellie. Ellie went to your free school here too.
Well, when you're standing.
In the last